and there might not have been a bigger story, or has been a bigger story in a long time than what is transpiring, both in Switzerland and in the United States, in New York, when it comes to FIFA. To help us to kind of make sense of the last 24 hours or so, we go down the Loop City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Loop City Express Oil Change featuring Mobile One, a warranty approved, a change for the better. Very pleased that David Goldstein from Castles & Brock, Sportsnet legal analyst, can join us. David, here's what we know. We know that the Americans are very interested in the sports marketing companies and the kickbacks that have been there. The Swiss are now investigating the awarding of Qatar and the 2022 Russian World Cup. Let me ask you that. What's not involved here? What isn't on the table? Because I think there's a lot that's circulating right now.
Well, anything outside of soccer, but if it touches the world of soccer, it's either been implicated or affected by what's gone on today. I think you're absolutely right. I don't think there's a bigger story in sports right now. And frankly, I don't think this is just a big sports scandal. When you take a multi-billion dollar industry and the U.S. federal government views it as a criminal enterprise, it's a massive international story. It doesn't need to be limited to sports.
But no Sepp Blatter, right? Which I think is kind of important in this. The guy at the top, the guy that has, you know, taken the brunt of a lot of criticism over the years and is actually up for re-election on Friday, he's not involved in either side, is he?
He's not been implicated at all, and it's an important distinction. But as far as who's affected, already in the hours, and it really only has been hours since this all came to light, already that scheduled presidential election on Friday, predictably there's some pushback to postpone that. So UEFA, which is the largest of the regional federations in soccer under FIFA, so it's the European arm of FIFA, they're pushing for a six-month extension on that election because, as you can imagine, this is a massive story. And while he hasn't been implicated, there will be questions as to how the allegations could have taken place under his watch, as any leader would be.
David, let me ask you this. Could you maybe give our audience in layman's terms kind of the scope? They didn't decide yesterday, hey, let's go to Switzerland and arrest people. The announcement that was made by the district attorney in New York today with the indictments, and already they are opened up some guilty pleas in there. The Swiss, on their part, are now looking at the awarding of the World Cups, which FIFA has put out a release I thought was interesting. Sepp Blatter saying this afternoon that they actually went to the Swiss authorities. How much work has gone in to get us to this point behind the scenes?
Years. You know, you mentioned it in the preamble that FIFA is an organization that's been rumored to be subject to bribes and corruption for decades, and the investigation goes back decades. But it's been years of investigation, and the big break a couple of years ago, they actually got a former FIFA executive who they were investigating to cooperate secretly. So Chuck Blazer pled guilty in 2013, but that was obviously confidential. And as part of that guilty plea, agreed to cooperate against some of these other people that are now being indicted. So it goes years back. And what's also interesting is that it will continue going forward. So one of the statements today by a U.S. attorney was that this is the beginning of the effort, not the end. So this is the first step, but documents have been seized, computers have been seized. The investigation will continue, and now it goes into investigating 2018 and 2022 as well, the World Cups.
David Goldstein from Castles & Brock, sports lawyer is our guest. He's our Sportsnet legal analyst. Bruce?
David, the RICO word has been brought up, talking about racketeering, et cetera. Can you explain what that means and how it applies in this case?
Well, I think that's what makes this such a bigger-than-sports story to me, is that RICO is a racketeering statute legislation in the U.S., and it's basically meant as a way for the U.S. to protect lawful organizations that are overtaken by criminal enterprises. So the idea that a criminal organization would step into what is otherwise a proper and lawful organization and use it for criminal purposes. So in this case, FIFA has very noble goals of running soccer internationally, and it's not just the World Cup, it's the soccer governing body for the world. So it goes much beyond that. But by accepting bribes, which the U.S. is alleging various FIFA execs have done, they've abused that power and transformed from a proper organization to one that is actually run for criminal purposes. And those allegations are basically, in very simple terms, the value in so many of these soccer tournaments, World Cup or regional in North America, Central America, what have you, is in the sponsorship of those. So the sponsorship and then the broadcasting rights. So all of those have tremendous value to different levels of businesses. And the allegations are that FIFA executives were actually taking bribes in exchange for exclusivity, either exclusivity of sponsorship agreements themselves or exclusivity in being the sponsorship company that solicits those sponsorships. So basically, there's a ton of money here. It's an organization that has proper values at its core, but over the last 20 plus years, the U.S. federal government is saying has been taken over by people who used it for criminal purposes for personal gain.
And this case, the way it's being pursued by the U.S. Justice Department is very typical of what they do these days, which is to say they get people basically in a room and say, okay, you can take the fall for this or you can give us evidence, et cetera. We've seen, you know, a bunch of high-profile cases. The Conrad Black case was this way. They got subordinates of blacks to roll over on him so he would be the guy in the crosshairs. I'm thinking that when I look at this case, that's what's got to worry FIFA, is that they've got some of the guys who used to be in the middle of all of this who in fact, you know, have the evidence, and they know that they have the evidence. That's what's got to be scaring the FIFA people.
Yeah, and the case, the investigation really turned on getting one cooperative witness, Chuck Blazer, a couple of years ago. If, as is reported, they've already got multiple guilty pleas and they're presumably negotiating for lower sentences, you know, the concern is if you're FIFA, or the hope if you're looking for a real proper cleanup of the entire organization is that more will come to light from this, or if more took place, that it'll come to light, and this will really be shining a light on everything that has happened, because it is an organization that has been rumored for decades, and the feeling was, you know, you just can't get to them. Or you haven't been able to get to them for whatever reason. Well, that's very much a different story today.
With David Goldstein from Castles Brock, Sportsnet legal analyst, part of the release from the Department of Justice, as I went through it, and you just touched on the sports marketing component that's involved here. We're talking about the people that distribute the TV rights and the game and the marketing rights and everything. How culpable? How far down the chain? And how culpable are you down the chain? I mean, are we talking about potentially North American TV companies or cable companies being involved somehow legally or otherwise?
Well, there hasn't been any allegation of that yet. And it should be noted that we are extremely early in the process of all these facts coming to light. But there has already been some change. The North American Soccer League, and I just saw this a couple of minutes ago on Twitter, but one of their senior executives has taken a leave. And I'm not clear at all on the circumstances around it, nor do I think they've come out yet. But the idea is it could stretch extremely far. It could be that they got just about everybody already. We don't know, and anything else is speculation. The only reason, you talk about how much further it will go is that the U.S., the government was very, very clear that this is the start, not the end of the process. So the investigation is not over. What it will turn up, it remains to be seen.
David, first of all, how does this affect, if at all, the women's tournament, which is about to begin here in Canada in short days? And how does it affect the potential for Russia and Qatar as sites for the World Cup?
I think the only real difference for the Women's World Cup event would be potentially who goes as far as FIFA executives, because extradition is the concern, and you know, being in Canada and the countries being as cooperative as they are, extradition requests by the U.S. are almost always granted in Canada. So there might be European FIFA executives who are being advised by their council not to make the trip that they otherwise would have. As far as the operation of the event itself, I don't think it'll have any impact at all, nor do I think it should. This is very much an executive level scandal. This has nothing to do with the playing field. This isn't Deflategate. This has nothing to do with the level playing field itself. And I hope that the event will go on successfully, because I know how much work has gone into it, and from the athlete level and the organizer level.
What about Russia and Qatar, though?
I think that's a very interesting question, because no World Cup bid has ever been revoked. And they're already each millions and millions of dollars into preparation. So they will resist strongly any sense of taking those games. On the other hand, everyone who bid for those World Cups and lost will want their second kick at the can if it can be showed that they were improper bidding process. And those were scandalous from day one. Those aren't hindsight. I mean, when these two announcements came out on the same day for 2018 and 2022, the obvious questions were, for Qatar particularly, it's so hot there. How do you have a summer event? And they've since shifted that to winter. And then there's all the scandals surrounding the speed with which they've had to create all these venues, and the tragedy surrounding it. And the last number I saw was up to 5,000 deaths as a result of rapid construction, and very, very poor employees kind of brought in from around the world to do this work. So there's a ton of controversy around those games, the 2022 games in particular. Again, a World Cup has never been taken from a host city, but we've never seen circumstances anything like this either.
David, this might come right out of, Law 101, and I apologize if it seems like a very basic question, but can you maybe explain the role of, what we perceive? The media reports on a lot of things. We were just talking off the air that Jeremy Schapp and ESPN just did a one-hour, investigative report on FIFA and Blatter this past weekend. There have been all kinds of reports. The German reporters in Qatar that weren't allowed to leave the country. There's a lot that's out there. There's a lot that is speculated and talked about, but never really proven in a court of law. How much does that, cloud or confuse or come into this conversation?
Well, I think the media's role can't be discounted. The federal government is still, politically inclined. So if the sense was no one's bothered and this isn't a concern, it could theoretically change the sort of appetite to pursue this, because there are those who will find this an unpopular strategy. This is the U.S. going after international white collar criminals, and there be some controversy around it. One of the things that some have said is that the U.S. was the only country that could have gone after FIFA, because soccer is so popular and beloved in every other country that it would be politically unpopular to actually go after soccer, even though it's alleged that it's such a corrupt sport and so corrupt at the executive level. So there's some sense that it was only the U.S. that could point to the corruption objectively, and that the media would go after it as hard as it did, because in every other country, it's just kind of the media loves soccer as much as the fans do. So there's always something to, so many of these sports scandals, the media were one step ahead of the law, but, Biogenesis was the same way.
Sure.
It was big media reports that then drove, in some sense, the law enforcement pursuit of it as well. So there's something to it, and I think the U.S. not being a soccer fanatic country had the sort of luxury of viewing it objectively and going after it without really a conflict of interest the way you might if you are beloved fans of whatever team in your country.
And we were just talking before you came on about the Allan Eagleson situation years ago, and I did a lot of reporting on that. And that was, in fact, one of the things that made that go, was that people in Canada law enforcement wanted nothing to do with going after Eagleson in Canada. But in the United States, there was no downside to doing it. Hockey wasn't a big deal. Politically, he wasn't connected there. They were able to go after him in a way that could never have happened in Canada.
Exactly. That's a luxury of not being, it not being your number one sport, that maybe you get to view it a bit differently than some other countries might.
David Goldstein from Castles Brock, our Sportsnet legal analyst, joining us. We're talking about the FIFA issue, and I have a couple more procedural ones for you. I mentioned just when you came on that both FIFA and now in the last hour, so Sepp Blatter have released statements, and both said that they want to help root this out. I mentioned before that Mr. Blatter pointed out that they submitted a dossier to the Swiss authorities late last year to the Office of the Attorney General to try and get some help. I'm assuming this is, you know, not goodwill, and this isn't, oh, by the way, I got to say something. He's following legal counsel here, right? There's a way to go about defending yourself?
Yeah, I would absolutely expect that it's following legal counsel. And FIFA did have its own investigation about the 2018 and 2022 World Cups as well. So they are taking steps, and that was an investigation that they had done by a U.S. attorney or a former U.S. attorney. But even that was embroiled in its own controversy. So they had I think it took 2 years to do this investigation. And when it came time to release the report, they chose not to. And they instead had a FIFA executive present to the media his summary of the report.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. attorney that actually prepared the report went on to criticize that summary. So, and said that it was materially misleading and incomplete. So even their attempts at investigating themselves have led to more controversy and more issues. So there is cooperation, and there's definitely legal counsel and needing to cooperate, but they just, on this one, seem to need to be pushed along a little bit.
Couple more for me. One, you have a number of people taken into custody last night in Switzerland, and there is an extradition treaty. Having said that, these are very well-heeled gentlemen. I mean, is that part of this? As everybody said today, this is just the beginning. Can that process bog down?
Oh, absolutely. Extradition is very complicated. The people that they've gone after, by definition of what they're going after them for, are well off. So if they want to have legal maneuverings and try to avoid this, it can take a while, and it's been known to take years and even many years to actually get the process played through. And the whole time, there's both adversarial legal machinations and also negotiations for plea deals and guilty pleas and all that. So this is going to take quite a while. The U.S. will need to show the connection to the U.S. in each case, and whether that's, you know, banking institutions that were used for wire transfers, whether it's ISP providers and internet use that's based in the U.S. or whatever it might be. There's a lot to go before these people are actually in a court in the U.S.
All right. Now, I almost feel a little sheepish asking this, but because RICO is involved, it's a RICO case, there's that kind of Hollywood mob mentality that you watch any mob movie when the heat comes down on one of the capos, that everybody behind the scenes starts reorganizing. Is there a sense that because this is FIFA, other organizations that we kind of take a open-minded view, say the IOC or
not the IOC,
NCAA, do other groups start paying attention to this and do an in-house inventory and go to, you know, are we all above board? Does this send reverberations through around the world to other sports groups?
You know, you hope it didn't need this to create that, but if I'm a senior executive and I'm not directly involved in overseeing things underneath me, I'm asking a few more questions. But it should be very clear that this is a FIFA scandal. That the connections, just because there have been allegations or rumors of FIFA corruption, and now, at least from the U.S. federal government's perspective, those appear to be true, doesn't mean that every other rumor of allegation of corruption in the IOC or any other organization is true also. So it shouldn't be by any means a guilt by association. But yes, I think every organization is going to look at itself and realize that being in sports is not immunity from judicial scrutiny and governmental oversight. And also, it's just yet another reminder of we love sports. You know, we've loved sports since we were kids, but these are multi-billion-dollar industries. And it goes back to the thing I said right at the beginning, that this is not a sports scandal. This is an international business scandal.
So why should...
And they have very powerful friends.
Yeah.
And you talked about the NCAA. It's why no one gets anywhere, because David's point is well taken, that there's no appetite in the United States for a real evisceration of the NCAA. There's just too many powerful people, politically and otherwise, who don't want to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. But let me ask you this, the final question. I keep saying the final question. This one's the final question, Dave. Why,
for today,
somebody driving around today, and I heard this a couple of times. As a fan, why do I care about this? To me, it's a huge story, but why does the fan who's listening in the car or driving around Calgary, listening online right now, why should they care about FIFA being taken to task legally?
I think the big effect is FIFA makes decisions that trickle down. And it's not just where is the World Cup, although I think as a fan that is a big deal. The World Cup is going to be in the winter because they picked a destination that was entirely too hot to play in the summer. So now not only is the World Cup in the winter, but the seasons in the regular conferences are all different because of that. So that's a very clear issue that a FIFA decision affected fans of Manchester United and Real Madrid and everyone else. But also FIFA is the organization that makes decisions that affect youth soccer and participation and rules and regulations and all sorts of things that will trickle down all the way to how kids learn the game and what the game looks like. So if the decision makers at FIFA are in fact making decisions for their own personal benefit and not with the best interests of the beautiful game of soccer in mind, then as a fan, as a player, as the parent of a player, it is important and it should be important that FIFA is cleaned up. So to me, it's the big ticket items like where is the World Cup actually being played and when, a question I never thought we'd have to be asking. And also the people that are making the decisions that govern the entirety of the sport, we want them to be doing it for the best interest of the sport.
David, I can't thank you enough. Really appreciate your time. Very much appreciative of your insight as well. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys.